Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Dave, just continuing this theme, the contrast between religion and Christ, I want to open a slightly different way. From the book of Jeremiah, in the Message, now this is wild, I'm going to read this. It talks about the stick gods. It says, "Listen to the message that God is sending your way. House of Israel, listen most carefully. Don't take the godless nations as your models." Boy, that's a good message for Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah.
"Don't take the godless nations as your models. Don't be impressed by their glamour and glitz, no matter how much they're impressed. The religion of these people is nothing but smoke. An idol is nothing but a tree chopped down, then shaped by woodman's axe. They trim it with tinsel and balls. They use hammer and nails to keep it upright. It's like a scarecrow in a cabbage patch. It can't talk. Dead wood that has to be carried can't walk. Don't be impressed by such stuff. It's useless for either good or evil. All of this is nothing compared to you, O God. You're wonderfully great, famously great. Who can fail to be impressed by you, King of the Nations? It's your very nature to be worshipped." I'll just leave it there, Dave. But the wild thing is the contrast between the true creator God and a stick wrapped in some kind of tinfoil or tinsel.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And there's sections of the world where they worship such things.
Yes.
And there's no point Ireland saying, well, we don't do that. Well, we do. And we do it in different ways.
Yeah.
And we worship dead things which don't give life.
Yeah.
And we deny the creator God. The one who gave us our eyes, ears, brains, our metabolism, our body, our legs, our arms, our knees, our toes, our everything.
So what would be some of our stick gods?
What are some of our stick gods?
Yeah.
Wow, hold just, on a minute. Personally or corporately or what?
Well, I mean, just to kind of illustrate that point, because, you know, we tend
well,
to
money,
look at
money, money. Okay,
yeah.
Ireland, we're talking about the economy. Everyone wants to know about the economy. They want their own economy to be good.
Yeah.
So there's a stick god.
So people put their security
in money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I suppose in
and
career.
Jesus warned against that very directly. He said, beware, because a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions.
Right.
And I think we all know firsthand stories of people who are very rich and had a very luxurious life and are now destitute. You know.
Yeah.
So, and the tragedy is, tragically, some of those people have taken their own lives.
Yeah.
Or tried to take their own lives. Reality is that their lives are much more than money.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an example, I suppose, of, you know, how useless it is to be chasing after something like, you know, money, just as it is to be chasing after something like a stick with some tinsel on it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And it keeps us blind, really, to the greater reality that there is a God who made us.
I love the words Jesus used. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?"
Yeah.
So he used the word profit. What'll it profit you if you gain the whole world? So imagine if you just became the richest man in the world, gained it all, right?
Yeah.
What's the profit in that if you lose your soul in the process?
Yeah.
So it shows soul is more valuable than bank account.
Well, yeah, and, you know, just in relation to that, you know, the stick god is something that we make.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
But God, we didn't make God, no.
No.
He made us.
That's right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, to have a real connection with the truth of that is probably something that doesn't really happen very much in the culture that we live in.
Well,
it's almost like you have to step outside of the culture that we live in, you know, to find the God who made us. Because in our culture, it's like, we've made everything. We've made every darn thing there is.
I know. Well, you know the way men don't go to doctors normally, you know, because they don't want to tough it out and not not kind of with all any bits of symptoms. They don't want to go chasing to the doctor.
Yeah,
that's
the
typical Irish man, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the point: is nobody goes to Dr. Jesus until they're really sick, you know, until they're really desperate and everything's collapsed. Yeah. I won't say nobody, you know, because my own testimony, I came to Jesus at a time when I was quite happy with my life. Mm. Things were going well, and you know, I was never depressed and never in the drugs and big way or anything like that. But you know, the Lord, by his mercy, drew me to himself, showed me what a reprobate I was, and entered into my life when I asked him. Yeah. So you don't have to be at the Last Chance Saloon. It's actually quite a dangerous place to go, because you can, if you miss it, it's the Last Chance Saloon,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know what got me on to that, Dave, but let me get back to Paul and Nuala's list here. The religion versus Christ. I love this one. They talk under a heading of religion, they talk about controls, but under Christ they talk about releases.
Right.
Isn't that just liberating?
Right.
You know, who likes to be controlled? Well, nobody really. Now, oh, maybe somebody does. Maybe somebody who's very insecure and feels like, I don't want freedom. I quite like living in this jail here.
and also, you know, that being a Christian brings you to a place where of security, you see. Because when you're insecure, maybe that's when you want controls.
Yeah, good point.
You know, children growing up, you know, they need those controls, and they need parents to say, no, don't do that, don't cross the road.
Yeah, they got very weird if they don't have them.
Yeah. Because they're very insecure, because they know it's a huge big world out there. But when you are secure, then you don't need to be controlled. In fact, what God does is that he releases you. God says, you know, you're walking with me, you're listening, you know, you're listening to me, you're relating to me, you know, you're free.
Dave, when you were living in your house in Tala, when it was first built, there was no walls in the front garden, is that right?
That's right, yes, or the back garden.
And in the front, a lot of neighbours built walls and protections.
Yeah.
And why'd they do that?
Oh, well, I suppose...
Stop their kids running out, wasn't it?
Well, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Put up the gates and that, yeah.
But you had a kid too, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
And you didn't build a wall?
No.
What did you do?
Well, I suppose we
you taught your kid?
Taught a kid not to be running around on the...
Not to run out in the
road. Across
the
road, yeah.
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 And just and a very interesting cameo here, because here's a picture of how... people, not just raising kids or something, but you know, the idea of building the wall to stop, physically stop something, and the other is to somehow ingrain in the person the importance of not running out in the busy road. You know, it's
that's
interesting,
right.
Isn't
it?
You know, and really God's desire is that we would not have all walls in our front gardens of our lives, but inwardly we would understand what dangers are about. Because really, we do live in a world, particularly with the media and the internet and the million TV channels and everything, you know, that there's an awful lot of really nasty stuff out there, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, unless you've Jesus inside you, you know, there isn't a hope of being free from the clutches of the destructive power that's out there. You know, so I think with Christ, there is a hope, and you can walk free because the desires are changed. Isn't that right?
Well, and you know, that's a very important... It brings up a very important point that, you know, the freedom that you have in Christ is not just freedom. It's not just a license to do anything.
No.
To, you know, it's the freedom to be a human being, to walk within, you know, to live within the confines of what it means to be a human being.
Yeah,
that's liberation.
Yeah, right.
Because you know we can't just. Do anything we want, or do any. That's not freedom.
Yeah,
that brings us straight back into captivity, probably.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh. Here's another one under the heading of religion that dominates. Religion dominates, but Christ serves.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Think of Jesus. First of all, he was there at the creation. You know, he's the creator, okay?
Yeah.
With the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But and then he comes down on earth, right?
Mm.
Well, you know, you expect him to be carried around on a four, you know, fellas carrying him on a chair and looking to his every need, so he never has to do a day's work and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't like that.
No.
And he willingly served in every way.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the wildest thing. This is the king now. Actually, no. This is the King of Kings.
And even more than that, this is God.
Yeah.
You know, that and in the Gospel of John, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, you know, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus Christ has declared him or has revealed him.
Mm.
And so, you know, nobody knew really the heart of God until Jesus walked on the earth and let humanity see his heart.
Yeah.
But what was his heart? Well, he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he looked after the poor.
Yeah.
He restored the life of the widow's son.
Mm.
You know, he cast out demons. Raised up people who had died.
Yeah.
And that's the heart of God. You know, how maligned is the heart of God in the world in which we live?
Yeah.
You know?
People have such weird ideas about God. They really do. I do sometimes read on. I don't do Twitter. You know what Twitter is, Dave?
You've heard of it,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I don't tweet, right? But I've realized that you can actually, on the internet, you can read other people's tweets, you know.
Mm.
You know, and I like maybe some politicians or famous people, I like to read it. And I sometimes like to read what the people I don't agree with, you know, people with very liberal views and, you know, what they're saying about particular issues that are coming up.
Mm.
And it's always interesting to have a look at what the other side are saying. But the attitude towards God is just breathtaking. This is the very God who created these people.
Mm.
And they so misunderstand him.
Mm.
Now, Christians, taking the widest interpretation of the word Christian, have truly misrepresented God down the ages. So, in a sense, you don't blame them. Mm. But in another sense, you know, they are responsible.
Mm.
Because it's clear that God's attributes are evident by what he's made.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I just cannot. I was reading a book. I picked it up in a bookshop. I was just leafing through it. It was a big illustrated colour book and it was showing about parts of the human body and showed about the ear and it was explaining in great detail and huge blown up photographs of the surface of the inner ear and these kind of wild things going on.
Mm.
And how there's a part of your body that transmits kind of vibrations and sound waves into electricity.
Yeah.
Electrical impulses that right. happen to go to a part of your brain that then get translated into something of meaning.
Yes.
And anyone who's listening, you're listening because of sound waves.
Right.
And this is the wildest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's only one little part of your body.
It's amazing.
We have a wonderful creator.
And interestingly enough, that, you know, this part of your ear that can convert sound waves into electricity.
Yeah.
Serves no useful purpose unless there's something in your brain
that can decode it. Yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand, the thing in your brain that decodes it serves no useful purpose unless there is, first of all, something that can translate sound waves into electricity.
Yeah.
So then,
how could this have evolved? Yeah.
Because one is useless without the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, that for the two of them to evolve by accident,
yeah,
in such a sympathetic way is nonsense. But
okay,
that's only,
you say that, Dave.
That's only one aspect of the human. But that happens. That's supposed to have happened millions of times.
I know that, but let me tell you about this book I was reading. Okay, which explained the wonders of the ear and how it all worked, and it kept using the word evolved. How we'd evolved.
Mm.
Okay, because the assumption is that however's there, however wonderful it is, it happened by chance.
Mm.
It is so barmy. But you know what? When the heart is hard towards God, deception enters. That's what's very clear in the Word of God. And deception will cause an intelligent person with PhDs and university degrees to believe something that is completely barmy, because the heart has gone hard. And we're here with our mouths open thinking, how on earth can they believe that stuff? Well, they do it because of the hardness of the heart. But that's where we need the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to change the hearts of all people, so that we will humble ourselves before a holy God, because only he can change us. The one who made us can recreate us
and take us out of religion and into Christ.
Oh, wow. Well, on that note, we'll say goodbye. And thank you for listening to Pilgrim Talk. Anthony Brabazon saying goodbye.
David O'Rourke.
God bless you, and tune in next time.